His name. What a wonderful God. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Why don't you shake your neighbor's hand and tell him, I'm so glad to see you in the Lord's house today. You improve your looks dramatically just by being in the house of the Lord. People look 25% better just being in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be sure to be in prayer for all of our church family that'll be traveling here in the next couple of weeks. A lot of over the river and through the woods to grandmother's and all of that going on. So be in prayer for safety and strength and health, that our church family will have a wonderful time of productive fellowship with their family and their friends. And it's just a great time of year to reconnect with relationships that have been on hold for a while. It's because of distance or because of circumstance. This is a wonderful time to reconnect with family and friends. We're going to be reading this morning from Psalms 32. We're continuing a study in the middle of the Psalms about being led of the eye or being led by the bit. We're making our way through the Old Testament, and we'll continue through the Psalms into the new year. And a year has come and gone, and what have we done with it? It's a good time to reflect and to evaluate ourselves. Psalms 32, verses 8 through 11. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him praise and thanks for his word this morning. Forever settle in the heaven. No, that sounds like the eighth hole at a golf tournament. Come on, give praise and thanks unto God. For he is worthy of all the glory and the honor. Thank you for your word today, O God. Everlasting, powerful, immutable, and settled in the heavens. Praise God. And we thank God for the privilege of handling His word here today. Again, so glad to see all of our visitors in the house. And please make yourself at home when you come here. Praise the Lord. We've been talking about this, these chapters 31 and 32, centrally about this business of being led by the eye or being led by the bit. And we've come to the conclusion that if you're going to be led by the eye, rather than jerked around by some coercive force, then you need some training in your life. And it is not your nature. He said, don't be like the mule and don't be like the horse. But even those beasts of burden can be trained. And you want to, if anybody's ever been thrown off the back of a cutting horse, they understand that you can train a horse to turn on a dime. And you do that with a bit at first, but after a while he understands, and then he's just aligned with your will and with his eye. But we want to understand today that it takes training to be led by the eye. And I could take a survey here today. Most everybody here wants to know God and to be led of God and to find their potential fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And most everybody here wants to enjoy the blessings of God, and to do that, we have to follow after his way, and that's a given in the word of God. But the scripture teaches that the law is our schoolmaster unto Christ. That means we have to learn how to walk in Christ, and we have to learn how to follow after Christ. We've talked about this, but you have to have a Moses before you can have a Joshua. You have to have the lawgiver before you can move into the promise of God. Now, a lot of folks don't want the rule. They don't want the law. They don't want the statute. They don't want the commandment. They don't want the control. They don't want the suppression or the governance of the word of God in their life. But you can't have the good stuff of the word of God without having the word of God in control of your life. Now that should make sense to you. That should be an elementary idea to you. You love to be able to use the interstate and the highway systems of this country, but without the rule and the law and the regulation, it wouldn't be a safe place and you wouldn't get very far. Every good thing in life has some system of governance that makes it available to us. And you have to have a schoolmaster before you can have Christ. You have to have a Moses experience before you can have a Joshua. There has to be a Samuel with a sword in his hand before you can have a David in your life. And these are all biblical types, but they are affective, fluid, spiritual personalities like David and like Joshua and like Jesus. They are all brought about on the back or on the shoulder of the ministry of a man like a Moses and a Samuel and a John the Baptist. Before you can be introduced to a Jesus, you have to have a John the Baptist in your face saying, "Repent!" You can't come to him without repentance in your life. Before you have a David in your life, you've got to have a Samuel with a sword in his hand, that when King Saul won't deal with sin in the form of Agag, Samuel cuts him into little pieces with a sword. You have to have the enforced word of God if you're going to come into a place of being led of the Spirit of God. We live in such a wide open Christian landscape today, and everybody wants to be led of the Spirit, but you can't be led of the Spirit without the word of God. For a fact, you can't be in the will of God and out of the word of God. I'm glad for the five of you that received that today, but you can't be in the will of God and out of the word of God. You can't flagrantly disobey the mandate and live a lifestyle that's outside of the kingdom's principles and assume that you are right with God. But we are the I'm okay, you're okay generation, and everything's warm and fuzzy and everybody's all right, and we'll all hug together and sing kumbaya and we're everybody all right. But that's not the way it's ever been in the word of God, and that's not how it is today. There is a moral expectation in the heavens. There is a God, and he has a way that is above our way. There is a rule, and there's a law, and there's a statute. And without it, we can't be... We can't be right with God. Now, God didn't place those things on us just for the sake of suppressing us and making us bear some onerous burden, but God is drawing us to himself by the channeling impact of his word. And he's leading us into his kingdom. By the word of God, God made Israel a people who were not a people. And so he defines us today. The word of God makes us the people of God, or the spiritual descendancy of Abraham, by the word of God. Not just because you think you want to be, but by the word of God. The word of God defines. Turn to your neighbor and say, the word of God will define you. Praise God. The word of God gives you purpose and causes you to recognize the purpose of God in your life. The word of God is the basis for our association with God. God at Sinai gave them everything they needed to come into the presence of God. And likewise, by his word today, he's given us everything we have need of to come into his presence. He's taught us how to live in association with God. He's taught us how to live in association one with another. The word of God teaches us that. The first two rules, love God, love people. And all the other commandments are just support systems for those two commandments. But that's what the word brings to us. You can't know God nor be led of the eye or led of the Spirit of God without a rooting and a foundation in the word of God. Holiness is a product of the word of God. Holiness is a character trait of God, and he has the power to impute it to mankind. He can lay his hand upon you and make you or cause you to be holy. And there's a command in the word of God that declares, be holy, for I am holy. So we are instructed to learn about him and learn of him and become like him. One of the character traits of God is holiness, and the word of God brings that to us. You can't walk in the will of God and outside of holiness. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, God will use the bit on you to extricate you from a difficult or a negative or a challenging, perhaps a life-threatening situation. He'll use the bit on you to redirect your life or to reorient you toward the will of God. He'll use the bit to realign you with his purposes. And you can only go so far as the man Nebuchadnezzar to find that God will deal harshly, but by mercy. You can go as far as a guy named Jonah and find out that God can realign your purposes and get you back on track with a little bit of judgment. And that's the bit of God. God would rather have mercy than judgment. God would rather lead you by the eye, but he would rather see you safe and well and whole and right. If he has to hurt you a little bit to get you there, he'll do it. That's not a threat. That's just a relationship as common as your relationship with your mom and your dad. Don't make me come in there, son. Praise the Lord. Israel's history is a history of people that walk outside the framework of God's expectations, but God, by judgment, brings them back because he loves them, and he wants to bring them into a place of purpose and fulfilled potential. And he wants to bring them into a place where he can bless their lives and cause them to walk in the blessing of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, that's just by way of review. If we want to be led of the eye, we have to understand that that circumstance or that capacity is indicative of training. We can't get there without training. And it is indicative of experience. As we learn to follow after the will of God, we gain experience. How many of you remember the story of Jesus as he tells about the lost sheep? He's telling about lost things in Luke chapter 15, and he talks about the lost sheep. And the sheep is not a wicked character. The sheep is not some villainous character in the word of God. He's just a dumb sheep, which is, by the way, what God likens us to. We're like sheep that have gone astray. And this sheep is just following from clump to clump. He's just moving from grass to grass. And he has no idea that in the evening he's going to be lost and that he's going to be separated from his master. He didn't do it willfully. He didn't do it on purpose. He just was hungry and following his nose. And as he did, he became lost. And experience, though, teaches us not to get lost by innocence or by a lack of knowledge. We went horseback riding in Colorado one year, and Lindsay, I think, was about 11 or so, but she was terrified because her horse had a mind of its own. We'd be going down a trail, and it was pretty rough and rugged terrain, and her horse would find something to eat, and he would start nosing off into that whatever it was that there was there to eat, and she would just start screaming because the horse didn't realize that beyond that clover there was a cliff. The person on board realized there's a cliff there. Wasn't interested in the clover at all. But the horse had short-term expectations, short-term vision, and he was looking at the clover without an acknowledging or an understanding of the impact of going off a cliff. But it was upsetting the rider terribly. You can, by lack of experience, fall into a place where you find yourself out of the will of God. You never mean to do that, but you just kind of wander from place to place, and you by inexperience find yourself outside the will of God and in a dangerous spiritual situation. People that have a fierce loyalty to God can be led of the eye. People that have a native purity of heart can be led of the Spirit of God. And we know about the diversity sitting here this morning. There are some folks in this house that are so just straight and squeaky clean, and just by nature, they're just good-hearted folks, and they do the right thing most of the time just because it's their nature. And then there's other of us that have to be led into good behavior. Being led of the Spirit is indicative of a close association with God. And the closer we get to Him, the easier it is to know all He has to do. Any of you have parents that can communicate with you just by their eye? Is there anybody here that has a husband or a wife that can communicate with you just by the eye? And it's amazing, because you know that person, and you know exactly what's going over in their mind, and you know what the options are, you know what the multiple choice is, and all you have to do is just see that eye. If you've ever been involved in athletics, you know that there's a relationship sometimes between a quarterback and a receiver, and all they have to do is look at one another, and they know what's going to happen next. One of the most amazing things I think I ever read about was a play in last year's NCAA basketball tournament where LSU was playing somebody, and there was a pair of twins playing on the LSU team, and one of them was standing out in front of the key and had his back to the goal and defenders on either side, and he took the ball and just straight back over his head. And the whole crowd thought he had lost his mind, except his twin brother, who knew exactly what he was going to do and was already in the air, took the ball in flight and stuffed it. Shut every mouth in the house. Amazing. But what was happening there? Connection. Connection that's been going on since the womb. They just knew one another so well. Somebody say praise the Lord. Close association with God can create a relationship where you can be led of the eye, or led without the pressure of a bit in your life. And we all would rather do that. But you have to realize that for every one of you that wants to be led of God, and for every one of you that wants to follow after God and actualize potential and embrace the blessings of God, you have to know that this very moment, as we're here and we are strategizing and we are talking about the things of God, and you've come here because you want to draw close to God and you want to praise and worship Him and move in through the spiritual tabernacle of God and into the presence of God one more time, drawing close to Him to know Him better, to hear His voice, and to understand His will in your life. You have to know that hell is having a business meeting this morning, and hell is having a strategy session this morning, and hell, for every one of your good intentions, hell is rising up and saying, I'm going to create a situation where they never will find their way to God. I'm going to bankrupt them of every good intention. I'm going to put an obstacle in the way of every desire that they have to come into a relationship with God. Somebody say praise the Lord. They've got a sign on the wall in their main office that just simply says, everybody has a price. Everybody's got a price. Hell believes that. Hell believes that you've got a price. Hell believes that you've got a threshold. Hell believes that you've got a need so pressing in your life that if they can just touch it, it's as if we were standing in the court of God when Satan was there in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. Satan told God, he said, if you will let me touch him, I can make him curse you to your face. In chapter 2, Satan said again, if you'll let me touch him, I can make him curse you to your face. Hell believes you have a price tag on your collar. Hell believes you have a threshold that if he can just push you to it, you'll lose all of your inspiration to live for God. Praise the Lord. Hell has an agenda. They've got their mottos and they've got their mantras, and they have a desire to put an obstacle between you and the will of God. Now, you're following after the will of God, and some of you have come up against obstacles, and you've thought to yourself, well, if this is the will of God, why am I running into this obstacle? Why am I meeting with such harsh resistance? Surely this must not be the will of God. But men like rivers seek the paths of least resistance, and if you follow after your natural inclination, you'll never know nor find the will of God. God can lead you by the eye, but if you think an obstacle is meant to say that you're not in his will, you've got some study to do in the word of God. Because anybody that's ever served God or lived for God has come upon obstacles, and all of hell wants to rise up and place something in your way so that you would turn aside from the will of God. But I read in the prophet Isaiah where Jesus speaking prophetically said, I have set my face like a flint. He had his eye on a hill called Golgotha, and there were multitudinous things in the way. There were obstacles, and there were valleys, and there were problems, and there were people in the way. But he set his eye on that prize and on that goal, and he would not be deterred. You can be led by the eye, but you've got to keep your eye on the prize and not be distracted in the pursuit of the will of God by an obstacle. The enemy wants to distract you today and cause you to lose sight of the will of God. If he can do that, he effectively creates a circumstance in your life where you cannot be led of your eye, but you're looking at the people. Oh, but you're looking at the obstacles. Are you counting all the problems? You're looking at all the reasons why not. But God set a North Star in your life. God has set a focal point in your life. You got to keep your eye on that and not be distracted in the mirror, in the middle of your miracle. Not be distracted in the middle of God leading you. It is so easy to get distracted. God really has called you, and God really does have something sweet for you, and God really is leading you. But don't be dismayed because there's an obstacle in the way. All of hell today wants to impede your progress in the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Shove your neighbor a little bit and say all of hell wants to obstruct your progress in the kingdom of God. Praise God. It's an interesting thing. I've got a little book review here from one of our brothers over in Texas by the name of Ken Gurley, and he's reviewing a book by a gentleman named Amos Young, Y-O-N-G. And Young is a classical doctor of divinity, and he's from a school of divinity here in the States. And he writes some interesting things in as far as we would be concerned here this morning. He talks about the oneness of God. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the term, the oneness of God, is simply a contemporary phrase to discuss the historical monotheistic view of the Hebrew people. The flagship of the Hebrew faith and theology is Deuteronomy 6 and 4. We know that because Jesus asked, what's the most important commandment? And the response to that was, hear, O Israel, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's the Shema Israel. It's the highest utterance among the Hebrew people. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's reiterated in the New Testament as being the most important of all the scriptures. Why? Because it focuses on the fact that there's only one God. Why did Israel fall so often? Because they began to follow after other gods. One of the classic Ten Commandments is there are no other gods. Don't have any other gods before me. You need to worship the Lord God, and Him only shall you serve. So the oneness of God is simply a concept in a modern setting to communicate that there's only one God. And you're in a house today that teaches that Jesus is the manifestation of that singular deity of the Hebrew nation. We believe, according to the Word of God, that Isaiah 9 and 6 declares that a child shall be born, a son shall be given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 7 declares that a child would be born and a sign would be given, a virgin would conceive and bring forth, and that his name should be called Emmanuel. The first chapter of Matthew translates Emmanuel for us. He tells us Emmanuel, God with us. And so we understand that Jesus, as he walked on the earth, was the body of God, the manifestation of the eternal God of Israel, the creator of all things. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, in his piece, in his book, The Spirit Poured Out on All Flesh, Young asserts that the oneness view of the Godhead resonates well with other monotheistic faiths such as Jews and Muslims, rendering oneness theology more capable of global acceptance. That's an interesting thing that he would give props to a oneness concept, seeing that he comes out of a tritheistic or Trinitarian academic area. He also recognizes that there is an obvious tendency in Trinitarian areas to express itself in tritheistic terms. Tritheistic meaning three gods, instead of monotheistic terms, which means one God. And he says the oneness confession of the unity of the Godhead checks the tendency toward a literalistic individualizing of the three persons. He says when you believe in only one God, it'll keep you from following after three gods. Well, that shouldn't be something needing discussion here this morning, but it's something that needs discussion in our American Christian landscape. But the thing that I wanted to offer to you here today was Young makes an interesting comparison of the oneness Chinese Pentecostals and the Trinitarian Korean Pentecostals. He says the Chinese have no theological seminaries and came to their oneness viewpoint through a simple reading of the scripture. They don't have a seminary. They just read the Bible. And when they do, there are large groups of oneness Pentecostals in China right now, just from having read the Bible. He contrasts that with the Korean church, which is predominantly Trinitarian, and that's because they have seminaries. His conclusion is Trinitarianism has to be taught from some extra-biblical source. But that oneness is the natural conclusion of anybody reading the Word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, the relevance of that to our discussion today is the fact that if you just start out living for God, looking for God, reading God's Word, and you don't have any outside interference, you will come to the knowledge that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, all of the fullness of the Godhead was in him bodily. And Paul would teach Timothy, he said, God was manifest in the flesh. Well, praise the Lord. Old and New Testament seem to affirm that. Without some extra biblical source putting an obstacle in your way, you will find the truth of God. You will know the truth of God. If left to yourself and the Word of God, you'll find it. Because the Word of God says that the Spirit of God leads you and guides you into all truth. Well, how do we get into error? Somebody places an obstacle in the way. Somebody places a tradition in the way. Somebody builds a seminary and puts a stamp on it and says that this is the heralded voice of God. But if, listen now, if it's not in agreement with the Word of God, it can't be in the will of God. No. If it's not in agreement with the Word of God, it can't be in agreement with the will of God. Well, praise the Lord. Oh, let's clap our hands unto it and bless His name. You're trying to live for God. You're trying to seek the face of God. How many people here want to actualize all your potential and reach the blessings of God and live in favor with God and please God? Well, we absolutely do. But the enemy wants to place an obstacle in your way today. But you've got to have your eyes set like a flint, and you've got to be willing to go over, around, under, or through anything that is set before you to make your way into the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. The enemy will razzle dazzle you. Pull a red herring in front of you. If you can't convince them, just razzle dazzle them. Just fake them out. You know, you want to live for God and you want to do well and you want to do right. And then God puts Francisco in your path. Some boy that'll tell you, you sure are a cutie. Some boy that'll come along, especially if you don't have a dad that's active in the kingdom of God, and he's not affirming you, and he's not building you, and he's not adding to you and edifying you. Some boy will come along and begin to tell you breathy things over the telephone. Oh, I love you. You're so beautiful. I'd like to get to know you. Listen, honey, that's an obstacle in your way. That's a razzle-dazzle, a feint, a fake that somebody's put out in front of you. The first thing out of your mouth needs to be, do you talk in tongues? Do you shout in church? Do you sit on the front row and worship God with all of your heart? Do you pay your tithe? Do you obey your pastor? If those questions come back in the negative, then you need to say, I'm sorry, you got the wrong number. I'm sorry, you're talking to the wrong young lady. Well, praise God. All snakes talk like that. You ought to hear the hissing, but you are so hungry for affirmation. And you're so hungry to hear somebody say something good about you. I know God, but He thinks I'm beautiful. David said, one thing have I sought after. Paul said, there's one thing that I'm looking after. I want you to know there's one thing that boy is after. Well, praise the Lord. If you want to cheapen yourself and chase after that, well, Israel kept going after the trinkets. Kept being led astray of the red herrings and the tripping over the obstacles. Judas had a price tag in his life. Judas sold out for a bag of money, the most precious thing that he ever walked with, the most precious thing that he ever knew. Isn't it amazing that this flesh has the capacity to be turned away from God? All of hell wants to do that in your life. You want to be led of God. You want to be obedient to God. You want to follow after God. You wouldn't have got dressed up and come to the house of God this morning. You're interested in the things of God. But all of hell wants to put some appetizer out in front of you and lure you away. The man Demas, we don't know much about him, but Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Praise God. Brother Andy, could you get us Joshua chapter 7 and beginning with verse 6? There's a man by the name of Achan who is mentioned in the story of Joshua. And Israel was on its way. They were being led by the cloud, led by the fire, moving into the power of God. They had crossed over into promise. They had already won a major battle at Jericho, and they were up against a small city named Ai. And the simple thing that should have been an easy victory for them turns out to be a tremendous defeat. Everybody say, I want to be led of the Spirit. Well, you have to understand there's a connection between your capacity to be led of the Spirit and your choices and your lifestyle and your decision making and everything that you're doing in your life. I want the blessings. Then you've got to be obedient. I want the goodness. Then you've got to be for real about this. Praise God. I gave you credit a while ago. I said every one of you wants to follow after God. Every one of you wants to live for God. I've lived long enough to know that there's people sitting in the house of God that are there for ulterior reasons. They came chasing skirts. They came because it's traditional with them. They were raised and it's in their family. They can't seem to break away from it. Even when they've given themselves to sin, they can't break away from the house of God. Let me tell you something. It'd be better, if you're going to be a bad boy, it'd be better for you to be a bad boy outside than to sit on these pews and be a bad boy, because you'll turn into a reprobate and you'll never find your way back to God. Sitting in the house of God, text messaging people, sending little love letters on a text in the house of God. Whispering and talking and cutting up in the house of God. And I'm not talking about 8-year-olds. I'm talking about 19 and 20-year-olds. You got grits for brains. And you're standing at the precipice of reprobation. Your pastor's wife was concerned for you the other night, and she was praying for you. And the Holy Ghost spoke in prayer. And this is what the Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost said, Joshua chapter 7. They came to Ai. They didn't even send out the full army. They just sent a few people because it was such a small place. They should have crushed them. They should have had immediate victory there. But they got their ears waxed. They lost men. They lost faith. They were afraid. They turned and ran. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell upon his face on the earth before the ark of the Lord until the evening. And he and the elders of Israel put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore have you at all brought us, this people, over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. He's questioning his purpose. Go ahead, Brother Randy. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? In a context of a revival church, some families are struggling. In a context of a revival season, some marriages are struggling. And you're wondering, and the enemy speaks to you in the middle of the night and says, if this is truth and if this is right, why am I having so much trouble? But it's the response God always gives to Israel. God said, if I have divorced you, where is the writing of divorcement? And God said, if I put you away, where is the invoice where I sold you? He said, you have sold yourself unto sin. And the reason you feel a separation from God is because of the sin in your life. Read on, Brother Randy. The Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and all of this environment around, and they'll cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do unto your great name? Joshua is thoroughly perplexed. This is the people of God. Why are we struggling? And the Lord said, everybody say, the Lord said. Now, I know this was back in the day of Joshua, but this week, the Holy Ghost said. This week, the Holy Ghost said to this congregation and to these families, get up. Why are you lying upon your face? Why are you depressed? Why are you feeling like you've lost your best friend? Why are you feeling discontent? Read on. Israel has sinned. They've also transgressed my covenant that I've commanded them. And they've taken of the accursed thing, and they've stolen, and they've dissembled also, and they've put it among their own stuff. Read on. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Why don't I have victory over this? How are you living? Why can't I get victory over this? What have you done? They have to turn their backs because they're enemies, because somebody in the camp has an accursed thing in his tent. Neither will I be with you anymore. I can't feel the presence of God. How are you living? I can't feel the touch of God. What have you done? God, listen, God is static. God is constant. God never changes. He cannot be moved. His love and mercy are immutable. They are forever. If God has left off talking with you, you better get to a mirror and look at the man or the woman in the mirror and say, what have I done? How am I living? Talking about being led of God. And God is leading them. God led them to Ai, but not to defeat. He led them to victory. God has led us to this place. God has brought you to this place in the kingdom, in this time and this season in the kingdom of God. And if you're wondering why it's not happening for you, you need to sit in front of the Word of God and hear what the Holy Ghost is saying today. He said, neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Now, Israel was a corporate body. Israel could be stymied by the sin of one. I'm going to tell you this. We will have revival here over your carnal carcass. We will have victory and people praying through the Holy Ghost here, regardless of what you as an individual are doing. But what I'm addressing here is the price tag associated with your life and your own family. We'll open up the door to you. We'll sing to you and we'll preach to you even when you're thumbing your nose at the Word of God in the middle of the house of God. But you need to understand what it's going to cost you. You're going to try to marry a wife and you're going to fail in that because you haven't been faithful to God. You're going to try a business, but you're going to fail in that because you haven't been faithful to God. You're going to reach out and try to appropriate the blessings, but you're going to fall on your face because you haven't been faithful to God. You say, well, preacher, that ain't right, because there's people outside here that live any way they want to live. And yeah, but they're not the people of God. They weren't born of his name and filled with his spirit. You've already crossed over and you're not ever going to be the same, and the rules are not the same for you. And the only way for you to get what you want is to get in alignment with the Word of God and say yes to God and embrace the hand of God in your life. He said, I won't be with you. You'll have to turn your back against the enemy. They went and they sought out Achan. And somewhere in the middle of a wonderful victory, Achan saw a Babylonian garment, a little silver and a little gold. And he couldn't even spend it. Couldn't use it. Couldn't do anything with it. He just took it. And he hid it in his tent. And by the process of lots and elimination, Joshua found him. They took Achan and all that he had and all of his possessions and his children and everybody. Took them to the valley of Achor. Stoned them to death. And left them there. Burned that place. And after that, they went on into victory. I want us to stop for a moment here, and I want you to just lift up your hands before the Lord. Praise God. If you need to repent of anything that's not like God, I'd like for you to do it right now. If you're frustrated in your relationship, if you're frustrated, you can't touch God, you can't feel his presence anymore, you need to go back to the last place where you were when he was there. If everything you lay your hands to seems to turn to dust and ash, you need to get on your face before God. Say, God, what is it about my life? What is it about my life right now that is not pleasing to you? Praise God. Praise God. God, look on us as a people today. Forgive us. Forgive me. Every thought, every deed, every imagination, every word. Lord God, forgive me as the under shepherd of my family for every sin in my family. God, forgive us today as a church family for all that we are that's not pleasing to you. And God, forgive me as the under-shepherd of this house. Cleanse us and forgive us, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It's not hard to follow after the will of God. It's just picking them up and putting them down day after day. Not necessarily always exciting. Not always mountaintop. But God's looking for ordinary people to be positioned for that moment when the extraordinary breaks forth. It may just be giving a cup of water to a prophet. It may be somebody walks up and they need your donkey. And when you ask them about it, they say, the master has need of him. It may be as simple as packing a sack lunch for your little boy. You don't know that day he's going to walk right into the will of God. And that sack lunch will feed a multitude. The will of God. Doing the simple things, the daily things well. Doing them right every day with your eye on the prize. Defined, directed by the word of God. Trained in what God likes. His expectations. And then there'll be a service or a prayer or just a bolt out of the blue. You're sitting on the job and God calls you. He wants you to break your alabaster box. You don't even understand what it's going to do. You have no idea what the implications will be. But he's got to have somebody he can touch that can hear. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. The kingdom of God is made up of really simple things. The tapestry of the way our lives are stitched together. It usually doesn't happen with a whirlwind and an earthquake. The prophet was in the mountainside in the wilderness. And there was an earthquake and there was a great fire and there was a tempest of a wind. And God wasn't in any of them. And after all the clamor died down, God came to the prophet in a still, small voice and said, what are you doing here? It may not be a lightning bolt. It's just simply today and on Monday and on Tuesday, being good to your brother. Being faithful to the concepts of God. Being faithful to your marriage. Being honest on the job. Being righteous in your relationships. The words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart, being pleasing to God. Just on an ordinary day. Praise God. This altar's open today. If you'd like to come, Holy Ghost is talking to us today. If you'd like to be led of the Spirit of God, if you'd like to repent of your sins, if you'd like to make some things right that you've made a mess out of.
Because you care, you care for me, yes.
Just come, just talk to him today. All over over the house, church. Let's do the work of the church. Let's pray.
Lord, that's why I praise you.
Praise you.
Hallelujah. I lift you up.
I lift you up.
Lord, I
magnify your name.
That's why my heart.
That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Lord, I want you to know that I love you.
I love you.
I need somebody that believes God to be with each of these that are in this altar this morning. If you believe God and you trust Him, come pray with these. Come lay your hands on these. Join with them. Lend your strength to their prayer.
Lord, I praise you.
I praise you.
I lift you up.
I lift you up. I magnify your name.
That's why my heart.
Somebody let the Holy Ghost use you as a vessel.
Speak through you. I love you, Lord.
I love you.
Mighty God.
I love you, Lord, today.
Mighty God.
Oh, yeah.
Because you care.
You
care
for me. Yes, you did.
In such a special way.
Lord, that's why I praise you.
I praise you.
I lift you up.
I lift you up. I magnify your name.
That's why my heart.
That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Oh Lord, I
somebody
love,
be a conduit for the Holy Ghost.
I love you.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord, today.
Because you cared.
Because you cared for me.
You cared for me. Yes, you did.
In such a special way.
Lord, that's why I praise you.
I praise you.
I lift you up.
I lift you
and
up.
And I magnify.
I magnify your name.
That's why my heart.
That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Lord, I really love you.
I love you.
I love you, Lord.
I love you. I love you, Lord, today.
Because you care.
You cared for me.
You cared for me
in such a space.